We're in Proverbs chapter number 20, verse number 21 through 25. Proverbs 20, 21 through 25. Let me start tonight by telling you why I think, I was thinking about this, why I think that our slow and laborious journey through the book of Proverbs is important. We've just been going through very slowly, and I know it seems so laborious to us that we're in Proverbs again. We've been here for over a year, I think. But why is it that we are going so slow and so diligently through the book of Proverbs? Why is it important? I think this is the reason. If we don't work through our various issues deliberately with a Bible in hand, then I think that our thinking and our reactions and our movements will tend toward being unbiblical and not biblical. Say that again. We all have various issues. We all have things that we're working through. And if we don't work through them with the Bible in our hands, an open Bible in our hands, then we will tend to think and react and move unbiblically instead of biblically. Of course, you understand, I know that you're Christians, I know that you're saved, and I know the Bible will be there. But it will be just one of a number of influences in our lives. We will primarily, without the Bible, we will primarily think and act according to the culture in which we live. And just because our friends act a certain way and say certain things doesn't mean it's right. I don't think it's good that we act and we react and we think and we feel and we desire like the world does. I think that's a bad, bad thing. So, what we're trying to do is look at the wisdom of God in His Scripture, and we're asking God to apply these truths as we learn them to our thinking so that we will act and react biblically and not worldly. It's my desire for me and for you that we act and react and move biblically, because it's so easy for us when something happens to act emotionally or fleshly or angrily or worldly. I want us to act biblically and godly. And of course, you understand the underlying of all that we're saying here. In the New Testament, God has made Jesus to be wisdom to us. And so these truths are important as we progressively are made like Christ in the work of sanctification by the power of the Holy Spirit. So, let's read these five Proverbs and then we'll break them down one by one. And I'll hurry through because there's one that I probably will spend a little bit more time on than the others. Verse 21. If you'll notice, I think the theme that may run through here, or at least it did for me, is the theme of hastiness. We see it clearly in verse 21, and then it seems like it's just an implied theme as we go through here. That's the Lord I want to hear. Verse 21, an inheritance may be gotten hastily at the beginning, but the end thereof shall not be blessed. Say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and He shall save thee. Divers weights are an abomination unto the Lord, and a false balance is not good. Man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? It is a snare to a man who devoureth that which is holy, and after vows to make inquiry. And all God's people said, amen. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the Proverbs. We thank You for their wisdom. We thank You for the ability of these truths to help us to live our lives more skillfully and more wisely and more glorifying to God. And we ask as we hear them and we learn of them and we contemplate them, God, we pray the Holy Spirit would apply them to our lives so that when we most need them, they will come quickly to our memory and we will be able to use them to live our lives more wisely. We love you and we thank you for your word, and we honor it tonight and we bow before it tonight and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 21, an inheritance may be gotten hastily at the beginning, but the end thereof shall not be blessed. So let me talk about wisdom and hasty distribution. Wisdom and hasty distribution. Now, the circumstances of this particular parable seem to be that there is some sort of gain, there's some sort of inheritance that is gotten, which seems to mean there is some passage from one generation to the other, yet this passage has not been gotten legally or morally. Seems to be some problem here in how this inheritance has seemed to be distributed to those who are receiving it. So an inheritance may be gotten hastily, improperly, illegally, immorally at the beginning. So Proverbs here is pointing back that things that are done in haste, things that are done without being morally good or morally right, is not wise and does not display integrity. It is a sad thing that people are more concerned about what they will get than the people who are dying. Amen? Worried about how it's all going to be divvied up, how it's all going to be divided up. And Angie's here. She sees that probably more than anybody here up in probate, how money can divide families and money can divide relationships, and what people will do to make sure they get what they want. I want to make sure that I get Grandma so-and-so, and I'm going to do everything I can to make sure I get Grandma so-and-so. Amen? So he says here, an inheritance may be gotten hastily at the beginning, and it may seem like, right, it may seem like success. It may seem like pleasure and satisfaction by maneuvering things around to make sure that you have received this that you want. But the idea here is not just the circumstances that surround it, but the curse that accompanies it. But the end thereof shall not be blessed. Now, let me ask you a question. Would you rather have $1 million and no blessings of God? Or would you rather have zero and have blessings of God? Now you can get, you can maneuver, you can illegally or immorally come to a place where you get what you want, but God says here that at the end it will not find the blessings of God. And folks, listen, whatever you get, if it's not blessed of God, it will turn out to be a burden and a curse to you. Amen? So, be careful. All of these get-rich-quick schemes rarely leave a person rich. They normally leave a person broker than when they started. Say amen. So you can hastily gain, but understand it may be at the expense of the blessings of God. Amen? Verse 22. Say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord and he shall save thee. Pray for my chickens. I'm sure they are scared to death right now. Amen? Say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord and he shall save thee. So let me say some things about wisdom and hasty defensiveness. When something happens to us, when someone treats us illy, or someone mistreats us, or someone does something to hurt us, our first reaction is to defend ourselves. And sometimes we do that with haste. Immediate defense. Anybody guilty of that? We want to defend ourselves. We want to defend our friends. We want to defend our family. And we hastily do that. And sometimes we say, well, I tell you what, I don't get mad. I get even. Notice what the Lord says here. Do not, say not, thou I will recompense evil. Don't say, I don't get mad, I get even. You with me? Now, there's a prohibition there, right? There's the command, the prohibition. Don't do this. Don't audibly say it or privately desire it and think it in your heart. Don't say it or think it or feel it. I will repay evil. I'm going to get even. I'll take care of that. That's how the world operates. It's not how Christians are to operate. So the warning is this. Don't take God's position. Don't claim to be God. Vengeance is not ours. Vengeance is the Lord's. When I say, I'll take care of that, I'll get even, you're taking God's place. Amen? That's God's work, not ours. And so we need to try and ask God to help us avoid those feelings and avoid those imaginations in our minds, our actions of revenging ourselves. In fact, the Bible says we are to return evil with good. And to take matters in our own hands is not only to play God, it's to invite God's judgment on ourselves. Well, there's a prohibition, but notice the promise. Notice that don't say, I will recompense evil. Don't say that. Don't feel that. But do what? Wait on the Lord and He shall save thee. Now, I want you to notice here that it doesn't say, wait on the Lord and He shall destroy them. Don't you destroy them. Wait on the Lord, He'll destroy them. It doesn't say that at all. Wait on the Lord and He will help you. He'll come to your aid. Right? The picture is not God as judge. The picture is God as Savior. He'll come save you. He'll come help you. He'll come and to your aid. So wait on the Lord. Wait on Him. Don't you take matters in your own hands. Don't be hasty with your defensiveness. Right? He will be faithful to you. He will be faithful. And it is His faithfulness that is the issue, right? Not our comfort. And so someone accuses you of something. You don't have to hastily defend yourself. Wait on the Lord and He will save you. Amen? I have learned in my life that hasty defensiveness only digs a deeper hole. Wait on the Lord. He knows. Verse 23. We've already talked about this several times, so I'm just going to mention it and move forward. Wisdom about hasty deceitfulness. Divers weights are an abomination unto the Lord, and a false balance is not good. Again, there is deception being used in business practices here. Goods are bought at one price and sold for a much higher price according to the weights of the stones that they were using at that time. And so people were buying this poundage of stone, but it really wasn't that poundage. It was a less poundage, and these people were deceiving them and making money off of them. So that's not to be done, and it displeases God. A false scale is not good. Things need to be equal. Amen? And we could go on and do a lot of applications of that, but we've talked about that, so we'll move forward. Verse 24. Here's where I'm going to get stuck a little bit. Man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? Here I want to talk about wisdom and hasty doctrine. You know, sometimes we hear and we feel things about doctrinal things that are easier for us to receive and accept, but received hastily, they may not be true. All doctrine needs to be thought about and inspected and researched and studied, not just hastily received. Say amen. So here's what I want to say tonight. I want to say ultimately we are not the directors, we are the followers. You know, I don't know why how sometime we got to understand that we are the directors in this whole thing when we're not. We are followers. We are not in charge. We are responsible, but we are not sovereign. God is sovereign, we're not. We are responsible, but God is sovereign. Now the text here speaks about a man's life, your life, my life, and it's using it as illustrated as a figure of a traveling man. So here's a man that's traveling, and there's three definite motions here. First is that our life that we live has a direction to it, doesn't it? If you don't have any direction, then you're in trouble. But you understand life is heading somewhere. Life has a direction, a movement toward a certain direction. We're headed for a certain goal, right? Certain destination. And life is characterized by progress. So as you would imagine, a man walking down or traveling down a road, he's going in a certain direction, he's headed toward a certain destination, and he's making progress in getting to that destination. That's sort of the picture that Solomon is painting here for us to see. Now, given that thought, let's further look at it. Man's goings, that is a Hebrew word that literally means steps. Man's steps are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? How can you understand the journey when God is sovereign over your steps? Now, I want to talk a little bit about the wonder that this particular doctrinal truth produces. By steps, God means here all of the individual acts that we perform at any given moment. Progress toward a destination is made up of many steps. You know, sometimes we think, once we get to a destination, that God's will was that we get there. Only the destination is God's ordained way. But let me remind you, Solomon says here, not just the destination, but the very steps that were taken to get to the destination are under the authority and the power and the sovereignty of God. So he says here, our steps, our goings are of the Lord. Every thought that we have is a step. Right? The thoughts that we have move us toward a certain direction and toward a certain end. Right? Every motive that we have is a step toward that direction and that destination. We are continually stepping, continually moving, continually going on these individual acts and individual steps on the way. Everything that we see, every word that we speak, every act that we perform is a step on the way of life. Now, you understand there are some steps that are more important than other steps. There are things in your life that seem to stand out over other things. But it is the collection of all of these things together, the big things and the little things, that move us along this toward this destination and toward this journey in our life. And one thing we have to realize is that the steps of others has also affected our steps. Now let me try to flesh that out for you a little bit. In our relationships, we just simply don't step side by side with each other, but the steps of each other determine the steps of the other. You are what you are primarily through the influence of your mother and father. It was your mother and father who decided what school to send you to, right? How to dress you, this, that. So a lot of their steps involved you. Are you with me? What training we received, or where we went to school, or the people that we were associated with, all of that was in the steps of other people, not ourselves. And we need to remember also that our steps will determine the steps of others. God uses all of that. You with me? My missteps affect people. Right? Your missteps affect people. Although we think we're individuals living in a vacuum, it's just us, I'm not hurting anybody but me, we never live in a vacuum. You with me? But every step, every thought, every motive, every action is under the authority and the sovereignty of God. So that in the end, all things work together for good. Now, notice the text here says, no man understands or knows his own way. The idea there is, no one really is able to discern or distinguish this journey that we're on. Or, let me say this. None of us here tonight know exactly what we're going to face tomorrow. Nobody here tonight really knows what we will face tomorrow that will cause us to react a certain way tomorrow. You and I are walking this road, but we are walking this road with limited vision and limited knowledge. We cannot see very far ahead of us. We're walking in darkness many times. How can we know our way? Which one of us can say, definitely this is going to happen tomorrow? None of us can say that. We don't know. We may hope so. We may plan for it to happen, but we have no vision that it will happen. And things that we hope won't happen might happen. How do we know? We don't know. We don't know. But what we do know is that whatever happens tomorrow, God has ordained it to happen. Whatever happens tomorrow, whatever steps are included in bringing these things to my life tomorrow are under God. So you go to work tomorrow. Your boss has had a bad morning, right? His steps are going to affect your steps. He may step on your toes, and you may stomp on his. Somebody help me. You don't plan that to happen, but it happens, and you don't know. We cannot know where our life and where this journey is going to lead us tomorrow. We understand certain directions and certain roads, but we are very limited in our vision and our knowledge of what's going to happen in this life. Let me tell you something. Go to a nursing home and remember this. We don't know what we may have to go through before we get out of this life. Don't know. You and I may wind up in a nursing home having our diapers changed and not knowing what day it is. I don't know. I hope you don't. I hope I don't. But there's no way that I know. But every step, every movement, every step is under the sovereign authority of God. Now, what does that do for us? Every step or all the goings of men are under God or of the Lord, and we don't understand the way. We don't discern the way. What does that do? Well, I think it should cause us to worship God. Isn't that a line of doxology? You don't know. You don't understand. You can't even see, yet every step that you step in darkness, God is guiding every step. God's not leading you in a bad way. God's going to lead you in a good, God-honoring way. He has arranged all things so that we can glory in Christ. That's what it's about, right? The glory of His name shines through our lives. And I know that He has arranged all things around that one purpose in order to glorify God and Christ. So what do we do? How do we worship that? Well, how do we worship a God that every one of our steps is in His hands? Well, we surrender to that, right? We obey that. We worship that rather than being self-reliant, arrogant, and dogmatic. We worship that and honor that and obey that and surrender to that instead of being fretful and fearful. If you really think about it, what are you going to do about it anyway? Doctor gives you bad news. What are you going to do about it anyway? Huh? What's worrying going to do about it? What's fretting going to do about it? What's thinking that if I can get to the best doctor, what's that going to do for you? Wouldn't it be better if you just trusted in the goodness and the sovereignty of a God who has brought these things into your life so that He may glorify Himself through you in it? Right? I hope all your steps, this is a Hallmark moment, you ready? This will be a good card. Write it down, I think. I hope all your steps are in bright sunshine. I hope all your steps lead you to exactly what brings you happiness and goodness. But all steps don't, do they? But all steps are ordained by God. All steps. So don't be self-reliant. Don't be arrogant. Don't be dogmatic. Don't be fearful. Don't be fretful. Surrender to Him. I don't know why this is in my life, but God put it here. There must be a reason for it. He must want to glorify Himself through me in this. And you understand this. I have so often placed in difficult situations, I have so often embarrassed God instead of glorifying God. I have so often made God look bad instead of making God look good. I have so often made much of me instead of making much of Him. I've blown it over and over and over again, but I don't want to blow it tomorrow. Amen? You and I, we're getting older, whether you would like to admit that or not. I was thinking the other day, I'm entering into the last quarter of my life, if God would be kind and good. It might be the last night of my life, but if God would graciously let me live to be 70, 75, I'm in the last quarter of my life, what am I going to do with it? Not interested in picking up seashells. Not. I'm interested in glorifying God with whatever He brings to my life. So would you pray for me that I would do that? That no matter what steps my life takes, no matter what steps my journey on this life takes, that I would understand and I would surrender to the truth that all of my steps, everything that comes into my life is there by the direction of God. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but God is planning and purposing everything that's going to happen in our lives tomorrow. May we surrender to that. Amen? Instead of wanting to get out of it, maybe we could glorify God by going through it. Amen? So don't be too hasty about doctrine. I probably plan to do a little bit bigger thoughtfulness on my friends down in Houston, Texas. Brother Joel and Sister Victoria. Sister Victoria told 45,000 people on Sunday. She said, "Don't do right for God. Do right for yourself. Don't worship for God. Worship for yourself. Because God gets the most joy when you're happy." And 45,000 people walked out of there with bad doctrine. Terrible. Don't be too hasty with your doctrine. Search it out. Study it out. Make sure that you're... This is a pretty good test about your doctrine. Does it glorify man or does it glorify God? That's a pretty good test. Verse 25, and I'm finished. "It is a snare to a man who devoureth that which is holy, and after vows to make inquiry." Here's wisdom about hasty decisions. How many of you, this is a confession, imagine we're in a box. This is confession time. How many of you have made an emotional decision only to later ask, "What have I gotten myself into?" That's what Solomon's talking about here. "It is a snare for a man who devoureth that which is holy." It seems to be a religious emotional decision. somebody decides something religiously because there is an emotional attachment or an emotional plea or an emotional entanglement, and they agree, they make a vow, they make a commitment, and then they don't really know what the commitment involves. It was emotional. It is a dangerous thing when people are emotional to try to get some sort of commitment out of them. I very rarely ask anybody to do anything because, especially teach or serve, because I don't want them to do it because there's some emotional attachment to the preacher asking them to do it. You with me? It's not that they've counted the cost and they're really called and committed toward this place of service. They're doing it because they like the preacher and they don't want to disappoint the preacher, so they're doing it. It's bad, right? It's always bad when somebody says, I'll do that, and then a week later they say, what did I commit myself to? Right? I think it's dangerous. You have to be careful here because God can do what He wants to. I think it's dangerous to put a lot of pressure on people to get saved at funerals. I think it's a very emotional time and they'll make emotional decisions that they haven't really thought through. Amen? I have seen people saved at funerals, and I've seen people saved at funerals and it seems like they were really saved, and then I've seen people saved at funerals and they left and never darkened the door of a church again. So be careful about emotional decisions that have to be examined afterwards. I don't know about you, but I've made some emotional decisions in my life, and then I've got the payment book and I said, Lord, have mercy, what have I gotten myself into? Amen? Or you make some sort of decision, emotional decision, and boy, it turned out not to be what you thought it was going to be. There was no thought process. There was no investigation beforehand. And always, before you make a commitment or a decision, make sure that you know what that's going to involve beforehand, and you're not afterhand trying to figure out what you've got yourself into. I've never seen anything come good out of someone who is trying to figure out what they got themselves into after they made a decision. Those things usually don't work out well. Inquire before, not after. Amen? I've seen people walk down an aisle and have no clue what salvation involved. Not a clue. Not a clue. It got emotional. And there are a lot of churches that the entirety of their presentation is emotional. Get people to do emotional, out of emotion, do things. Well, Solomon says here, don't do those things hastily. Don't make hasty decisions. Don't make rash decisions. Make sure that you check it out beforehand or you'll be checking it out afterhand, which won't be good. Amen? And I just want to say this. For us to respond shallowly to godly things, I think that's a serious matter to God, to be shallow in our responses. So, don't be hasty. I had a situation. Something happened. Somebody called. I'd already heard something happened before the call. I didn't answer the call. Because I knew at that moment there were emotions that were running high. And I was fearful that their emotions running high would cause my emotions to run high. Because something was said that got back to me that I didn't I didn't think was good. So, me being in Proverbs, thank God, thinking about hasty things, I didn't call them back. And I waited till the next day. And the next day, emotions were lower. I had prayed about it that night. Prayed God would speak to all people involved and things would go well when I made the phone call. And you know what? Everything went great. Everything went fine. It may not have if I would have hastily dealt with that situation. So don't be hasty about your decisions. Don't be hasty about your doctrine. Don't be hasty about your deceitfulness. Don't be hasty about your defensiveness. And don't be hasty about distribution of money. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, would you help us tonight with these truths? Speak to our hearts. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.